Welcome to the Bone Coach Show, dedicated to helping you understand all things related to diet, lifestyle, bone health, and how you can live and thrive with low bone density and osteoporosis. I'm your host, Kevin Ellis, certified health coach, health and wellness speaker, and above all else, your bone coach. After being diagnosed with osteoporosis in my early 30s, I transformed my health through diet and lifestyle and now help my clients and community members do the same through my online coaching practice, BoneCoach.com. Look, there are no quick and easy cures for low bone density, but the choices we make every single day can have a powerful impact on our bones, our health, and our general well-being. I'll share the research, interview the experts, and help you figure out how to get the conditions right in your body so you can better your bones through diet and lifestyle. Short disclaimer, I'm not a medical doctor and this show should not be considered medical advice. Always consult with your healthcare team before making medical decisions and changes to your diet and lifestyle. With that being said, let's get on with the show.
I think that one of the most dangerous health habits nowadays is people drinking and sipping lemon water all day long because they think it's healthy. Yes, just don't sip on it all day long. You can use a straw, for example, right? So then you don't have the front teeth in contact. Because one thing you'll notice, especially, you know, I notice even for myself, my two front teeth, the edges are starting to wear down. And, you know, my diet consists of a lot of fiber. So as I'm biting and incising into fiber, that enamel is wearing down. So the more acidic our mouth is, the faster the enamel wears. The good news is we have really good ways to also protect the enamel. So besides the fact, you know, like, Don't try to sip on lemon water and limit your exposure. Also using calcium hydroxyapatite.
If you haven't done so already, especially if you're newly diagnosed with osteopenia or osteoporosis, or if your most recent bone density scan still showed more bone loss, go ahead and pause this episode and head over to bonecoach.com to sign up for your free 7-day osteoporosis kickstart guide. That's going to give you everything you need step by step by step over the next 7 days to get on the path to improvement and stronger bones. You won't want to miss that. So pause this right now, head over to bonecoach.com, and I'll be here as soon as you get back. Welcome to this episode of the Bone Coach Show. Joining us today to explore oral health and bone health is Dr. Sanda Moldovan. Dr. Sanda Moldovan is a recognized internationally for her expertise in oral health, nutrition, and anti-aging. With 2 board certifications, periodontics, and nutrition, she brings an uncommon level of well-rounded knowledge to biological dentistry. As a published author of Heal Up, 7 Ways to Faster Healing and Optimum Health, speaker and television presence, she utilizes public visibility to promote awareness of how a healthy mouth translates to a whole body wellness. Dr. Moldovan has also developed her own line of natural oral healthcare products, Aurasana. She is passionate about giving back to the community and is involved with several charity organizations such as America's Tooth Fairy and Homeless Not Toothless. I love that. I absolutely love that. Dr. Sanda, it is so great to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here.
I always love when people connect their businesses to philanthropy. So that's wonderful. Well, let's talk about how you got into the field of helping people as a biological holistic dentist. And, you know, actually you're a dentist out in Beverly Hills as well. So maybe we could just touch on how did you get to this point?
Yes. You know, Kevin, it's interesting how the path in life takes us to where we are today. And as I finished my residency as a periodontist at UCLA, I was doing the same surgery on 2 different people, and one would heal perfect and the other one wouldn't heal well at all. And I started on this path of what I can do, what can I do in order to help my patients heal better. So I started going to functional medicine, to nutrition conferences, and I got a certification in nutrition. And I started incorporating nutrition in my surgical protocol. And it changed the way healing happened for my patients. And ever since, it's a big part of my practice. Anybody from as simple as, you know, osteoporosis in the jaw to cavities to gum disease, they have their own personalized program in nutrition to help them get better.
That's amazing. And I want to talk about, because our audience is, you know, mostly people that have low bone density, osteopenia, osteoporosis. Can we talk about the connection between bone health and oral health?
Definitely, because we all know the bone in the jaw is really the foundation, and we must have a good foundation. And the bone in the jaw can be attacked by many different things, but the number one thing is bacteria, because it's the one place where through, you know, you have a tooth coming out of the jawbone and the gums around it, and right in that gum pocket, the bacteria goes straight to the bone. It's the only place in the body that that happens. So people, let's say, that have gum inflammation, the gums are bleeding, you know, they say, oh, you know, whatever, my gums are bleeding occasionally. Well, what is actually happening is the bacteria from the mouth is actually entering into the pocket and causing that bone to dissolve. That's what periodontal disease is actually bone loss around the teeth.
And there are ways to actually identify that that loss is happening, right?
Yes, we identify it with x-rays or CT scans. So on an x-ray, you can actually see that density becoming whiter. When it's whiter on the x-ray, you have better density. When it's darker on the x-ray, you've lost bone. And we see this in areas, not only with gum disease, but in areas of where we had root canals. If there's a darkness around it, it means there's bacteria that's leaching in the bone. Sometimes in cavitation. So that's what we look for. Is there bacteria on the jawbone that's destroying the bone? Let's get it out of there and help the bone heal.
And obviously, you know, people are familiar with going to the dentist for a cleaning or going to the dentist for a cavity. What are some of the other reasons that someone might come to see a biological dentist like yourself? And maybe we could even talk about what is a biological dentist? Like, why would someone come see a biological dentist in the first place?
Yeah, that's a good question, because a lot of people don't even know there is biological dentists out there. And I didn't know when I went to dental school. I didn't actually find out about biological dentistry until probably about 5-6 years after I finished my perio residency. And I went to a functional medicine conference, and the physicians presenting on the stage were talking about biological dentists, and I knew nothing about it. It was a very interesting moment. But biological dentists are basically, we practice based on a couple principles. Number one, avoid toxins that we use in the dental office, not just for you as a patient, but also for our team, so we don't inhale those toxins. And secondly, we want to use materials that are biocompatible for the body. So toxin-free and biocompatible. And you would think, well, aren't all dentists doing this? Unfortunately not. You know, there's so many products out there that dentists can buy from their suppliers, and they're fillings that are filled with BPA. We all know BPA is a carcinogen, but a lot of the plastic fillings or the white fillings are still full with BPA. Mercury, unfortunately, is still being placed in this country. Yes, hard to believe, but it is true. So things like that, like biological dentists will actually test someone personally to see what their body is compatible with. And we will only use those materials that are compatible with one's body to avoid reactions. So that's how biological difference are dentists. The third way, actually, which I want to mention, is typically, general dentists are kind of like, or traditional dentists, they look at a tooth and they want to treat the tooth. As a biological dentist, we look at the whole. That's why we can say holistic with a W, because we're looking to see, okay, are these areas in the mouth that are infected, are they really affecting your health? Do you have brain fog? Do you have joint pain? Lyme disease, diabetes, all these things can actually come from the mouth. So I highly encourage everyone to seek the help of a biological dentist.
Yeah. So obviously you're a biological dentist, right? People can go to, and I'm sure people fly in to see you and stuff out in Beverly Hills. And we can talk about where they can find you here shortly. But what are other resources people can use to find a biological dentist, maybe even near them too?
Definitely. I mean, I realize not everybody can fly to Beverly Hills, but IAOMT, it's our International Association of Medical Toxicology. .org, IOMT.org, and you can find a dentist in your area that practices biological dentistry.
That's wonderful. And when you were talking through some of the things that a biological dentist does different than a regular dentist that people are mostly familiar with, you mentioned mercury, you mentioned some other things. What are some other toxic chemicals that or toxic compounds that may be being used in dentist's office that we should be avoiding or should be asking about when we go in?
Good question. Some people, most people go in, let's say, for fillings. And you either need a filling or a crown. Typically, those are the options if you have cavities. You can remineralize teeth as well because teeth are bone. So we can strengthen the structure of the tooth. And we can definitely talk about that too. But from a toxic perspective, we want to ask for BPA-free fillings. There's some great materials today that are coming from Germany with ceramic particles inside the filling. It's still a liquid filling that's not more expensive, but it's actually a lot more durable and it doesn't have the BPA. Secondly, I would avoid any metal crowns. Mercury, of course, it goes without saying, nobody should put mercury in their mouth. But in terms of if you need a crown, make sure that it doesn't have any metal. Because metal itself is a problem. It can leach ions. The gums actually recede around a metal crown, even if there's a metal backing. Because there's a metal that goes on the bottom and porcelain on top. So just metal-free crowns. And when it comes to dentures, I know some people, that have lost bone, they don't have enough room for implants, maybe. So when it comes to dentures, it's a little bit harder. There are some dentures that are BPA-free. But a lot of the plastic dentures are also made with BPA. So also very important to find a biological dentist that can make you a denture without BPA.
And the things Dr. Sana is talking about, like these can be hormone disruptors, they can affect your endocrine system, they can create all kinds of other health issues or at least contribute to them. So that's why it's so important to be asking these questions and to really understand what's going into your mouth and how you're taking care of your oral health. Now, you mentioned cavitations, and I'd love to understand what are cavitations, what are maybe some of the other issues that people have beyond just a cavity when they come in. I think that's the thing most people think of, but there can be other issues. So can we talk through what are those other issues that people can have?
Definitely. So in our practice, it's very common that somebody comes in for a comprehensive exam to take a CT scan. We actually require this of everyone because it's the only way me as a practitioner can evaluate what is going on in the mouth and in the jawbone. So anybody that has had wisdom teeth removed, anybody that has had a root canal, or maybe people with dental implants, we really need to see what's going on all the way around the tooth. Traditional x-rays only show about 50% of the problems. So a lot of dentists say, oh, yeah, you're fine. Okay, you might not be feeling well though. And oftentimes we take a CT scan and we find infected root canal teeth and cavitations.
And
So,
before we go
yeah.
more into cavitations, I actually do have a question about this because a lot of people are probably listening and they hear CT scan and they're like, oh my gosh, I don't want that high of a level of radiation, or I don't want to do, they think contrast too. So is there contrast and is the level of radiation as high as people may be thinking for this kind of CT scan, for a cone beam CT?
Yes, great questions. So the digital CT scans we have today, the cone beam CT scan, they have 1/50th of a radiation than the medical CT scans. So definitely we say it compares to holding your phone next to you for 2 days. That's really kind of what it compares to.
Sure.
So the other thing that you can do, anybody can do when you go get a CT scan, is to take the Radonex. Which is basically it's homeopathic drops to help with the radiation from that CT scan. Yeah.
Perfect. And there's no contrast with this either, right? There's no like
No.
injecting anything. It's just you walk in, you kind of bite down on this little machine, it circles around your head, it does this scan, right?
Exactly. Yeah. There's definitely no contrast. So it's actually something that provides a lot of value for the radiation that it gives.
Wonderful. And then what is that scan showing?
So the scan is actually showing me, like what we started talking about, is the cavitations. It's showing me hollowness inside the jawbone, which is what cavitations are. When a tooth comes out, we expect the bone to heal fully, just like the rest of the jawbone. However, a lot of time the wisdom teeth can be infected, or maybe, you know, they're broken down into pieces in order to be removed. And there's either the periodontal ligament that is left behind or some tooth pieces actually that sometimes we find. And bacteria gets lodged into these pieces during the healing process. The gum closes over the top, enclosing these microorganisms in the jaw, and the bone never fills in. Our immune system puts up with a lot of toxins, bacteria that's in the body, up until one day when I have a lot of patients say, I felt great until this one thing happened and I just can't, you know, I'm chronically fatigued, I got Lyme, I got all these issues. So with cavitations, what I'm doing as a biological dentist, if I'm removing them, I'm getting rid of this bacterial burden on the immune system so our body can heal and can get back to its normal shape. So a lot of our patients that come to us with chronic fatigue, brain fog, Lyme disease, we're really looking to see, okay, where are the cavitations? Can we remove them to give a break to the immune system to focus on other things?
And so what does the process look like to do that?
The way I do that, I make a small incision at the gum line. Usually it's in a wisdom tooth area. Could be around, let's say, where you have a possibly a root canal. And I'm sure a lot of people listening have seen Root Cause. And I think a lot of us learned from that. I remember getting so many calls after that documentary came out. But, you know, around a root canal, which is a dead tooth, bacteria gathers, and it's not being seen by our immune cells because there's no more vascularity in the tooth. It gets killed with a root canal. So I actually myself had a root canal at the age of 14 when I was living in Romania on the meridian of digestion. And then it started affecting my digestion. I didn't know it at the time. I finally had that tooth removed, I want to say in my probably mid-30s. And it improved my digestion significantly by not having the tooth there. So we know there's an association with energy and meridians and the rest of our organs based on the stagnation that may happen in the mouth around a cavitation or a root canal. So I remove the infected material, whether it's the root canal or the cavitation. And in a cavitation site, when I scoop out the bone, it's literally mushy. And sometimes it's oozing out. And for those of you that want to see some of the cavitation surgeries, you can go to my YouTube channel at Ask Dr. Sanda, and you can see some of the procedures that I do. And one of them, which is about to come in the next couple months, we actually saw worms coming out of the site. I think probably that was the most dramatic thing we've seen, because parasites do gather around necrotic bone in the jaw. And we know the jaw bone is the number one source of infection. So we find all kinds of things, unfortunately, either from bad extractions or bacteria crawling in there. This communication between, you know, the mouth and the bone is so close that a lot of things get inside there.
And you mentioned Lyme a few times. Mm-hmm. What is the connection between oral health and Lyme disease?
A lot of my patients who are coming with Lyme disease, actually, they're very, you know, they have brain fog, chronic fatigue, inflammation, Lyme being a parasite. It likes to lodge into necrotic bone. And oftentimes in areas of cavitation is a breeding ground from the Lyme organism. That's why it's recommended to remove the cavitations in people with Lyme disease. And what we see is that once the cavitation is removed, patients actually are starting to make progress in terms of their healing from Lyme.
Wow. So if you are listening to this, I mean, number one, if you're listening to this and Dr. Sanda is blowing your mind right now because she's teaching you things that you've never heard before. You should have seen my eyes. If you're not on the YouTube channel, go check out my eyes when she said that the bone is mushy, right? With the cavitation. Be sure to share this with somebody who needs to hear this, because we're going to talk about some other really interesting things as it relates to your bone health and your oral health in just a minute. But also be sure to hit the like button and make sure you subscribe to the podcast and the channel too. So, Dr. Sanda, that's fascinating to me that this is like, if people have underlying health issues that they maybe just haven't been able to figure out and they're looking everywhere else, but they haven't checked their oral health, that could be a good thing to investigate and explore. And I guess it starts with visiting a biological dentist, getting a cone beam CT, and seeing if you do have any of these sites or cavitations or abscesses or infections or anything like that, right, that need to be addressed.
Yes, Kevin, you're absolutely right. And that happens often. You know, you go to the physician, you're not feeling well. All your blood results show inflammation. And I have patients that come to me. My doctor says I have inflammation and they have no idea why. Then we look in the mouth and typically we find areas of infections that go silent, because when a root canal is infected, a lot of times you can't feel it because the tooth is dead. So that's when we discover them, really, with a CT scan, because regular x-rays just don't find these kind of infections.
And let's touch on root canals too for a second. So you talked about how it's a dead tooth, basically, right? And your immune system is not really working there. But what are the issues with having the dead tooth or a root canal in your mouth? And why do some people choose it as a solution and other people choose to have the tooth removed?
That's a good question. And today, for me, I would never get another root canal. And I just recently actually lost another tooth because my friend actually put an onlay on it. And I didn't even know. I didn't even know it died. During the process of drilling, teeth can die because they're traumatized. Anytime we drill on a tooth, it's trauma on the tooth. And then, or bacteria, if we leave the cavity in place, then it can get to the nerve and the tooth dies. The endodontists clean out the nerve, but they can't clean the bacteria 100%. Even endodontists will tell you this. They cannot guarantee you they're going to clean out all the bacteria inside the tooth. All their studies show that a root canal tooth has 50 times more bacteria in and around it than a healthy tooth. So it's a breeding ground for bacteria. And that's the problem with root canals. The procedure itself of doing a root canal is still pretty archaic. There's really one endodontist that we work with. And sometimes people say, you know what, I'm not ready to lose a tooth, because teeth hold a lot of emotion. We hold a lot of emotion there. So if they're not ready to lose their tooth, I think Dr. Valerie Cantor is really the only one that's using ozone inside the tooth and more advanced techniques and better sealers to help to prolong the life of the tooth. But it's we just can't guarantee that we can get the bacteria out, because inside that root, there's some side channels that if you put them side by side, I think it's from 1 to 2 miles long. So it's a whole intricate structure inside the tooth that we just can't get the bacteria out. That's really our limitation. Maybe with time, we can actually find a technique that we can do that, but right now it just doesn't exist. So I think that as long as people are informed about what is a root canal and the health problems that can come along with it, then you can make a decision. Do I want another root canal or no? Yeah.
And this is, this is really relevant to me. I'll give a little personal share here. This is relevant to me because I have multiple root canals, partially because back in my Marine Corps days, I had a little bit of trauma to the left side of my face. And I ended up having to get some root canals and had some teeth that were busted. And that is why today that's still relevant for me, because, and as Dr. Sanda is talking, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so interesting. So let's say somebody, decides they want to remove the tooth, right? Is that is an option, right?
That is an option. And especially if we're starting to see the bacteria is leaking in the bone. If we're starting to see cavitations around the root canal, it's definitely time to have it removed. Another way you can tell, because some people are maybe, oh, how can we tell? By just looking at the tooth. If you look in your mouth and you can see maybe at the edge of the crown that your tooth is turning dark, that's another sign that bacteria is leaking inside. And oftentimes root canal teeth will look darker than regular teeth. And we replace them with ceramic implants. That's really the best option we have today. I have an implant myself that I had it placed when my root canal tooth, and you know, I chose to remove it. And we have both titanium and ceramic implants, you know, on the market. And I think titanium implants have been around for about maybe 50 years, and ceramic implants have been around for, you know, 25, 30 years. So it's a little bit shorter history, but we still have great success with both. And I have patients that are actually sensitive to titanium in general. They have a foreign body reaction. So we choose the ceramic option.
Interesting. And what is that? What does that procedure look like?
Basically, after we remove the tooth, we have to allow for some healing because we need good bone, solid bone, in order to have the implant integrate in the jawbone. And something very interesting happens. You know, once the bone has healed, let's say 3-4 months after a tooth is removed, when we place the implant, the osteoblast or the bone cells that are in the area actually extend arms or pseudopods around the implant surface, and they hug the implant so tight that the implant, we say, becomes integrated with the jawbone. So then you can put force on it, you can chew on it, and it doesn't cause pain. It's actually, implants become stronger than teeth when it comes to chewing.
That's great. That's great. And let's say, you know, is there a way to, let's actually talk about now, we're talking more like structural things at this point. Maybe we could talk about the oral microbiome also, because that's playing into this picture as well. What is the oral microbiome?
The oral microbiome is the amount of bacteria or the biofilm layer that lines the oral cavity or the mouth. We have the microbiome present in the entire body, in the nose, the skin, the eyes. We have a whole layer. But the oral microbiome is actually studied a little bit separately. And, National Institute of Health has put a lot of effort into understanding the different types of bacteria and also scripts with the Human Microbiome Project that's going on down there. And we're really starting to understand that different bacteria can cause different problems because they have different behavior. When I was a periodontist at UCLA in 2001, we were looking at pretty much kind of all bacteria the same. You have periodontal disease? Okay, we're gonna treat you all exactly the same. We're gonna do the deep cleaning. You know, you're gonna go home and clean well, then we're gonna go do some periodontal surgery. But 3% of people would always come back with disease. And the key was the microbiome. The one thing, because we never really address the bacteria. We just address the level of it, but not the actual type. So the way I'm practicing today is I want to know, what's your bacterial fingerprint? So we do a saliva test. When you come to us, somebody has bleeding gums, inflammation, have them swish, spin in a test tube. We send it out to the lab and we find out if some of this bacteria is causing the inflammation, and usually there's always at least a few, we're looking for 11 different types of bacteria, 4 of which can cause systemic problems. For example, something called Porphyromonas gingivalis has been called the stealth microorganisms because it's also linked to brain health. And Dale Bredesen mentions this particular bacteria in his book called The End of Alzheimer's, which I think is a great book for anybody with brain issues. And what's happening is that bacteria from the mouth ends up in the brain. It ends up in the joints and, you know, placenta. We know it travels anytime the gums bleed. So we're looking at things differently, especially we want to live better. We want to have a better quality of life. Oral health is super important. So we want to get the gums to stop bleeding and prevent Alzheimer's, prevent Parkinson's, dementia, and especially brain fog.
And are there specific foods that could maybe contribute to or support a healthier oral microbiome, and maybe things that you absolutely don't want to be consuming?
Definitely. The oral microbiome is supported by diet. Absolutely. I think, you know, eating sugar produces bad bacteria. For sure. And you know, the cavity causing bacteria grows in relationship to sugar. And this is also something that we can test for. So if somebody shows up with a bunch of cavities, we can tell if their cavities are active by doing a saliva test to seeing the level of cavity causing bacteria. Or maybe it's something that, you know, they had cavities a year ago because they were eating sweets then. So we can really tell what's going on. But sugar is definitely bad. Using sugar substitute is very good. You don't want to cut out sweets altogether, cold turkey, because it's not sustainable long term. So using sugar substitutes like stevia, monk fruit, these are all great things. Xylitol actually is cavity inhibiting. Very important. So the microbiome of the mouth varies based on our level of stress, oral hygiene, and diet.
That's great. And when we're talking about sugar too, we're not talking about like berries, are we? Or are we talking about just your candy, you know, your popsicles, your ice cream, that kind of stuff?
Good question. We're talking about processed sugar and also carbohydrates, sticky carbohydrates. The sugar in fruits produces a certain acidity that can eat up the tooth structure in a different way, not necessarily causing cavities, but eating up the tooth structure because of the acid in the fruits. So I would definitely, you know, fruitarians, for example, people that eat like fruits all day long, we do see that their teeth are basically half the size. And I have patients like that that come to me, well, like, oh, you know, I've been eating lemons and oranges, just, you know, sucking them with my teeth. The teeth are basically devoid of enamel. It's all eroded away. So it's very important to realize that even though, yes, lemons and limes are great alkaline forming, in contact with the tooth surface, they're very acidic and it will eat up the tooth structure.
So if we do consume those things, what are, like, you know, certain vinegars, right? Apple cider vinegar, for example, or like you just mentioned, citrus fruits, like there can be beneficial things, you know, it can have beneficial effects in your body. But how do we protect our oral health? Maybe after we eat a salad that has a little bit of ACV on it, or maybe we suck on a lemon or a lime. How do you protect your teeth after that?
My recommendation is for anybody eating acidic foods to take a sip of water and swish, so that the acidity doesn't stay on the teeth. I think that one of the most dangerous health habits nowadays is people drinking and sipping lemon water all day long because they think it's healthy. Yes, just don't sip on it all day long. You can use a straw, for example, right? So then you don't have the front teeth in contact. Because one thing you'll notice, especially, you know, I notice even for myself, my two front teeth, the edges are starting to wear down. And, you know, my diet consists of a lot of fiber. So as I'm biting and incising into fiber, that enamel is wearing down. So the more acidic our mouth is, the faster the enamel wears. The good news is we have really good ways to also protect the enamel. So besides the fact, you know, like don't try to sip on lemon water and limit your, you know, your exposure. Also using calcium hydroxyapatite as a treatment for your teeth is very helpful. I was mentioning that teeth are bone and teeth are alive. They're actually organs. So they will absorb minerals from our mouth into their structure. And how do we know this? Because we've done studies to show that if you have calcium hydroxyapatite that are used topically, the enamel actually gets stronger. We see it on an x-ray. So calcium hydroxyapatite nowadays is easy to find in a toothpaste form or Asana. I recently launched a tooth powder that has calcium hydroxyapatite and is great for people to strengthen their teeth, is natural, and it also prevents future staining and sensitivity.
I love hearing this because some people, when we think of enamel, is enamel this finite resource or is it something that we can build back up, right?
Yes, we can build it back up. We can remineralize cavities from a biological perspective. All we have to do is create a better oral environment. And our body knows what to do. That's the amazing thing. You know, every time I still do surgery, I'm like, wow, you know, it's just if you create the right environment, good things happen.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, are there, in terms of anything else relating to oral health, specific care that we can take for our mouth?
Yes, my best advice is to really have three steps in the oral care routine. Number one, brush. And it doesn't matter if it's electric or manual. It's just a matter of the technique. But in some patients, of course, they have poor dexterity. Maybe they have arthritis. Definitely use an electric brush. But the important thing is the brushing technique. Make sure you brush at the gum line and, of course, using the calcium hydroxyapatite. Number two is flossing, because we need to get in between the teeth. And for those of you that are not good with the string floss, no problem. The water jet works great because it reaches in between the teeth. And for dental implants especially, it's a must. We know that the water jet actually cleans much better than string floss, 80% better to be exact. So it's definitely a good reason to use a water jet for those of you who have dental implants. And number three is using a probiotic. A chewable probiotic is so important. And I started incorporating chewable probiotics, I want to say maybe about 8 years ago. And since then, a lot of research has come out. Probiotics help with inflammation. They help prevent cavities. And there was a study recently by the Cleveland Clinic that if you have a higher level of lactobacillus, this particular species, women have higher bone density, which we find very interesting that bacteria can actually talk to our genes and have it live in this nice symbiotic relationship.
I love the actionable tips that you just shared here. And one thing too, you were mentioning that using water for flossing, right? I think I heard that correctly.
Yes.
Is better than the alternative, which may be the string floss. And one thing I do know about some floss, like some of the string flosses out there, is it doesn't some of that contain PFAs, right? And PFAs, yes. For those of you listening, these can contribute to cancer, liver damage, decreased fertility, a variety of different health issues. So we want to limit that exposure of PFAS if we can. And I think using a water floss tool may be a little bit better option, right?
Absolutely. And you know, the thing is the string floss, people don't use it correctly anyway. Like, you know, that the dentist is like, wrap it around like a C, go up and down 20 times. It's like, no. And I watched my husband floss, you know, in and out, in and out. And that's basically how everybody flosses. So most people don't do it correctly. They either don't do it enough, they do it incorrectly, or too aggressively. So you can actually end up with floss cuts on the gums, which actually cause gum recession. So you can do damage by flossing. It's rare, but it happens. Water, we know from all the studies, you cannot do any damage to your gums. You can't. And the nice thing about water, it will go around in the gum pocket all the way 360 degrees around the tooth. So crowns, veneers, fillings, it actually ends up cleaning much better.
Wonderful. And then you mentioned mercury earlier on, and I do want to touch on this because some people have had or maybe still have mercury in their mouth from previous fillings from many, many years ago. Why is mercury an issue in your mouth? For those who don't know, some people are already aware it's not good to have that in your mouth, but why should people consider getting this removed? And then what would the removal process be? Like, how do we do it in a safe way?
Great question about mercury. And those of you who don't know if you have it or not, just go look in the mirror, open wide, and look to see where you have silver in your mouth. And those of you who have crowns, unfortunately, you may not know if you have mercury underneath your crown, which is a very common thing, actually. I highly recommend, number one, to know if you have mercury toxicity before you start the process of mercury removal. So there's a blood test, there's a urine challenge test that naturopaths do to figure out if there's high toxicity of mercury in the body. And then we can tell how we can remove the fillings so we don't do it all at once. If somebody comes in already, their mercury level is off the charts, we're going to have to start chelating some of that mercury before we tackle the fillings. So their body's not overwhelmed, because that actually happened to me. Growing up in Romania, I had 16 large mercury fillings in my mouth. Unfortunately, when I just finished dental school, I decided I don't want them because they looked horrible. And I knew nothing about biological dentistry at the time. So he removed them unsafely. I ended up inhaling a bunch of mercury. I started having symptoms. I had blurry vision. I had headaches. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I wasn't feeling well. So finally, through functional medicine, I realized, oh my God, I'm toxic. This was a couple of years later. And my mercury was off the charts. At that time, all my mercury was replaced. So I started a chelating process, which can take some time. So the important thing is to have the mercury removed safely. And we use the IAOMT technique here to protect you as a patient and us by actually suctioning off the vapors. Because when we drill in a mercury filling, is the vapor that's toxic. It's 2,000 times higher than the EPA allows it in the atmosphere. It's very dangerous and it's odorless. You can't smell it, but it lodges into the nervous tissue, including the brain. And it's very, very hard to remove. So highly recommend that you do it safely. And then, interestingly enough, mercury, we oftentimes find it in the bone and the gum. Because when it was placed, it was somehow left behind, it wasn't rinsed, and it ends up underneath the gum. So that's, we recommend removal of that aspect also, because it leaches mercury slowly. But that's an actual surgery. I actually have to remove it to make sure that it doesn't leach farther in the body.
And for those of you listening, what Dr. Sana is saying is, like, mercury is a neurotoxin, right? So and I know a lot of times when you might be listening, some people have the budget to address all these things, you know, in the very near future. Other people may be thinking, you know, how am I going to prioritize? What am I going to prioritize first? Just listen to these things that we're sharing with you, and then figure out what's the nearest term thing that I can do. Maybe you can't do all your teeth at one time. Maybe you just start slowly making progress as you can. But just,
yeah. And actually, Kevin, I to that point, I want to continue that. Don't get overwhelmed. A good biological dentist will help you prioritize. If you go in, we typically do a comprehensive exam and say, okay, we look at your health issues and say, do you have health issues? Let's tackle that first. So like, okay, we have brain fog. Let's focus on these things first, or maybe there's cavities. So we'll take it one step at a time. And typically my recommendation is just be honest with the dentist and say, you know what, financially, I can only do this right now. It's totally fine. They're there to help you. So don't, you know, be honest.
Totally. Yeah. Totally agree. And I, this has been so, so helpful. And I think the last thing maybe we could touch on before we talk about where people can find you is, if people already have these metal fillings in their mouth, maybe it's not mercury, maybe they might have something else, right? How do we then replace those with biocompatible materials?
So the best way with mercury fillings is to replace them with what it's called inlays and onlays. What that is, it's a puzzle piece of that hole that's now in the tooth after mercury has been removed, that basically gets milled with a milling machine. And we actually have one of those machines in our office, and we insert it the same day that the mercury filling comes out. So that's a nice thing about today's technology, that we can do things without that, you know, interim period of wearing a plastic temporary for 2 weeks. If the filling is small enough, then instead of doing an inlay or an onlay, which is porcelain, we can also do this liquid ceramic fillings that I mentioned at the beginning of the show. And these fillings also are same day, and they get placed and cured right after the mercury has been removed. But both of those are biocompatible and they're BPA free.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing this. Like this has been a great, really, really interesting episode. I've thoroughly enjoyed this. I'd love for you to share with people, where can they find you? And actually let's talk about, you've got your oral health products, which are helping rebuild, a healthy oral microbiome, and then also helping rebuild that enamel. Let's talk about those for a minute, because that's really, really important. And these are actionable things that people can easily start doing today. So can we talk about these products first?
Definitely. And you know, when I started Orasana, I always wanted to do a line that nourishes the mouth. There's so many products out there. They're, kill bacteria, kill, it's not like that. We have to nourish the bacteria because, there's 10 times more bacteria in and on our body than there's human cells. So with that in mind, we have to learn to live symbiotically with them and give them what they need. So Orasana is a line that we created with that in mind. So don't use harsh chemicals. Rebuild the microbiome by using probiotics that are scientifically proven to help you with oral problems. Use minerals on the teeth. Eat a good diet because that matters. And also take the right supplements to strengthen the teeth and the jawbone from the inside out. And those are calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, vitamin D. Those four things really help with teeth. We actually know from Weston Price back in the 1920s and 30s, he did this important research that people with a certain level of calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, and vitamin D in a diet will have stronger teeth. And I think, we are what we eat, absorb, digest. So that's why we need to make sure that we get the absorption of these nutrients properly. Because I think a lot of kids today, we're seeing cavities coming back because they're not absorbing. They're not absorbing their nutrients. So Orasana helps with absorption, helps to break down those nutrients, including collagen, let's say for the TMJ. There's these collagen peptides that are specifically designed for people with TMJ issues. So really the whole line of products is designed to help you in a natural way to maintain a healthy mouth.
Wonderful. And I know you had mentioned just before this that we're going to give a code or something like that for Bone Coach. We can put that in the show notes if we want to do that.
Definitely. It's like 15% off with the code Bone Coach. On orasana.com.
And I love it.
Yes, I always, want to educate people and help people maintain a healthy life. And really, I think these products will help you stay away from the dentist. That's the most important.
That's so nice of you. And thank you so much for doing that. So we'll leave that link in the show notes. You just use code Bone Coach to get 15% off. And then also let's talk about, let's say somebody's listening to this and they're like, you know what? And by the way, I'm in some higher level health practitioner groups with Dr. Sanda. She is, top notch. She is one of the best people to go to for this. So can people come fly and see you also if they're not local to Beverly Hills also?
Definitely. We have people flying to see me all the time and to have my team and I take care of them. We usually start with a phone consultation. So you can go to beverlyhillsdentalhealth.com. and schedule a phone consultation. We require a CT scan so I can read it, so I can at least advise on what my recommendations are based on your health needs.
I love that. Okay, well, thank you so much for sharing that, and for everybody listening too. Again, if you found this helpful, be sure to share it with somebody. Maybe they've got they have cavities, right? Or they have issues with their oral health right now, or they're struggling to figure some things out, or maybe they've got all these root cause issues that they're trying to address with testing and lab work, but they haven't considered their oral health. Share this with them. Could be really, really helpful for them on their health journey. And then for everybody listening, you can find all the resources, show notes, everything we mentioned here today over at bonecoach.com/Dr. Sanda, Moldovan, osteoporosis. I want to thank you again so much for your time.
We'll see
you in the next episode, everyone. Bye. Hope you found this episode of the Bone Coach Show helpful. You can find all the resources, show notes, everything mentioned over at bonecoach.com. If you enjoyed this episode and found it helpful, be sure to share it with someone you love, a friend, family member, even a group of people. And also be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode that can help you improve your bones, your health, and your future. One last reminder, if you haven't done so already, head over to bonecoach.com for more great resources to help you get on the path to stronger bones and an active future. I'm your Bone Coach, Kevin Ellis. I'll see you in the next episode.